Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, winning the feedback argument. The questions this cast answers are, how can I win the argument when giving my directs negative feedback? Why do directs so often argue or disagree when I give negative feedback? And what's the purpose of feedback? If you are looking for client training, private training for your group, your team, your division, you and your directs, and you want that done between now and the end of the year, I recommend you let us know. Send Maggie an email at maggie@manager-tools.com because we only have a few days left in our availability for presenters between now and the end of the year. If you are looking for a virtual event, we can do that a little more easily. And again, 2022 training, we're just running a little bit low on days and availability, and we would love to support you and your group. So either contact Maggie or you can send an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com.
Because managers have struggled in past to give negative feedback, to deliver it, we naturally try and prepare well in advance of future deliveries. One way managers make this mistake is seeing the exchange as a potential argument, right? We get defensive in advance of our directs defending themselves. And we try and plan all the ways, all the methods, all the words we're going to say in order to try and win this potential argument, which we have already convinced ourselves is for sure going to happen.
Which I would suggest sets you up for the argument to begin with.
Totally. Totally. And it makes your delivery harder. I mean, the words that you say, all of it. I mean, it just, we've worked it up in our heads so much. It makes it so much more difficult. And the premise is flawed. And the outcome is almost always, let's face it, completely ineffective, usually in the short run, but definitely in the long run.
And so we're going to talk today about not setting yourself up for that argument, not fully expecting that argument, and what to do about it. We're going to discuss that managers, in general, feedback experiences are not helpful to the cause. You can't win when you make it an argument, y'all. That the purpose of feedback is encouraging effective behavior in the future. And a reminder to brief your people and prepare them.
Mm-hmm, totally. Starting with the first piece, that is, managers, our previous experiences, I mean, they're really not overly helpful. We found that the two largest problems managers suffer from when having to give those negative feedback performance communications is their previous experiences trying to deliver those and the fear that comes from the fact that the first time we tried it, we probably failed miserably. So that's one thing. And the vast majority of us as managers, we just have horrible initial experiences delivering those performance communications. And then because of those bad experiences, we develop bad habits around them.
Sure. It's simply a learned behavior. We've tried before in the past to address things that are happening that aren't great, and it's not gone well.
Yeah.
For me, my personal experience is that's because I wait too long. I don't say anything at the very beginning. And then when it is time to address it, it's been 6 times that it's happened. Yeah.
And you're frustrated.
Yeah. My emotional response doesn't help me.
Totally.
Does not serve me well. And it's harder, I think, to hear it in those circumstances. The direct feels, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Embarrassed.
I think about all the times I've done this. And, you know, the thing is, if you just say something the very first time, people are less likely to repeat the behavior. So
absolutely.
I think it's reasonable of us that our negative experience from the past in trying to adjust people's behavior causes us to be concerned about doing it with feedback or doing it the next time. It seems like as well, you know, the vast majority of managers seem to believe that there's this, or there is this kind of widespread assumption that negative performance communications are needed. Like we agree, I don't know anyone who thinks we shouldn't communicate.
Uh-huh.
And they're not communicated. They're not delivered. It's weird. It's like we admit we should do this, and then no one does it. And I say no one does it. I know I exaggerate a lot. I actually mean it's almost non-existent that you hear people delivering negative input to their people, or that you that managers tell us about it. And it's weird that this is happening. It's just such an odd, it's so diametric to me that that's two things we hold in our minds at the same time. And there's not a lot of solutions out there for performance communication, especially negative ones, other than the manager tools feedback model. I think there's some other suggestions, but they're not widespread, that kind of stuff. And even with our model, managers sometimes have had less than great experiences.
Yeah. Delivering and receiving, I would say.
And then, so then they don't want to try it because they're concerned because their past examples are poor. And listen, also, if you look around, since no other managers are delivering feedback, there doesn't seem to be a lot of onus on us to do so. Like my peer.
Oh, absolutely.
My peer managers aren't doing it.
My previous managers didn't.
Sure.
To me, for me.
And I would even go so far as to suggest that a lot of us, our teams are pretty high functioning. They're doing well.
Yeah.
And if that's the case and you're not doing it, you might have thought to yourself in the past, is this really necessary? Because things are going pretty well. And maybe you have some minor annoyances and you think to yourself, well, those will go away. That's what I do. I usually think to myself like, oh, it'll go away. And sometimes it does. Usually not. And then by the time it's become a real problem, I'm chapped about it.
Absolutely.
And then I inflict my...
Yeah, exactly. Your emotional state.
Yes.
Your feelings. Exactly. Absolutely. It's totally true that for the vast majority of us as managers, again, in the absence of some other performance communication model that has ever been taught to us, because we've talked about this multiple times, managers are rarely taught how to be managers before they become managers. The way we've learned to give negative feedback is kind of by trial and error. I mean, you try a few things out, scrap together some of the past experiences you've had. These things really sucked. I'm not going to do those things. These things seemed relatively decent. Going to tape all those guys together and I'm going to try and use it. Unfortunately, what that means, though, is most of our past attempts were errors. And most of us did what our previous managers did, which probably wasn't any good, which probably doesn't come with data or any fact or any degrees of success that are possibly measurable. And we did that even when we used those previous models, even when experiencing the receiving of negative feedback was miserable for ourselves. It almost feels like if this is the way everyone's going to do it, this must be the only way it's going to be done. And folks, there's a lesson here. That is, if feedback, the rare pieces of feedback you get, if feedback was delivered to you poorly when it was delivered to you and it didn't work for you, chances are incredibly unlikely that if you try and use that same, to call it a model is an exaggeration.
Technique.
But exactly. If you were to use that same technique on the folks that work for you, it's probably not going to work for them either.
What's so funny about this, and we've talked about this before, like I hear from people, oh, I hate the meetings at my work. The meetings I go to are bad. Okay. The meetings that we go to, y'all, are bad because the majority of professionals learn to run a meeting from a previous boss.
Yeah.
Through observation, and then we repeat the other people's behaviors. And again, you know, a lot of us are existing in places where the work is still successful to an extent. So it's like a kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and feedback's the same thing. You learned it from a past manager, you observed and you kind of took that up. And what's funny about that is you would kind of assume that at a certain point, professionals would know how to do these things. We've talked about the idea that management seems to be the last science that people assume you learn through osmosis. And if that were true, y'all, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, we think that professionals know what they're doing, there's not a lot of efforts out there to teach managers how to do
this. There's not a lot
of
data to support that.
Right. And there's not a lot of guidance out there. And that's why people come to us. So if you are just repeating what you've seen in the past, so many of us have done that.
Totally.
We're here to save you from that, essentially. That's kind of like our entire premise. And don't be shocked that people don't know how to do this. Don't be shocked that you don't know how to do it. And this idea of just repeating the past, we've talked to thousands of managers who've learned about our model before they became managers, some of them because they had a manager tools boss who used the model. Or, you know, they learned it really, really quickly. These managers don't report any bad experiences giving feedback. They report implementing the model as being easy and that they garnered virtually no pushback or arguments from their directs. This is a similar experience to what I had, because when I first started as a manager, I already knew all the manager tools content. So I think maybe five times in the entire time I've been giving negative feedback have I had anyone actually argue with me. And y'all, this is another lesson we hope you've learned from us, or that you can learn from us, which is you should prepare for the role that's next for you. You should prepare for that role. You should be ready in all the ways that you can. And we're happy to help you do that. And we understand you've tried other ways, you've learned from other circumstances, environments, and you've gotten defensiveness from directs. Many of us have. And therefore, we've learned, hey, I should prepare to give negative feedback. And some of us do that. We do that with an eye towards like, well, what are they going to say? What are they going to argue about? And so then it's like,
we prepare. We prepare our case in advance.
Yeah, we're like,
and we're like little lawyers. We're like getting together all of our information to use against them, to level against them. We've got to make sure there's plenty of evidence.
Right. It has to have happened a few times or something, right?
Oh, must be overwhelming. You're going to lose the case if it's not overwhelming evidence. So we start scrapping things together.
Just like gathering, we're like looking.
Gathering evidence.
Perusing your case.
Exactly. I imagine you at this point look like Sherlock Holmes. Like I'm seeing you with like a really large magnifying glass in front of your face looking.
You should picture me with a mustache. I feel like Sherlock Holmes would have a mustache. So.
Yes, exactly.
You can't solve crimes without a mustache.
Right? And that's it, guys. What we do is, because we have these bad examples and we've tried it poorly and we've gotten defensiveness, we decide for ourselves, okay, well, the problem here must be, I don't have enough evidence. So we determine, well, I can't talk to them after the first time this thing happened, right? I've got to see that there's a pattern of behavior before I have a conversation about this issue my directs got. And we are certain that that defensiveness will melt away when we've got this ironclad case, which we can level against our directs. It will be certain to them when I've pointed out all of these instances that I'm clearly in the right and they've obviously done wrong. And by the time I'm done explaining all of these reasons for why what they've done is so bad, they will definitely come over to my side. They'll for sure agree.
Which is so backwards, because the more evidence you give against me when you knew it was wrong the whole time, the more I want to be defensive of my position, in part because the first six times were obviously not a problem.
Right?
It's almost as if in waiting, we believe we're creating
it. We permitted it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're digging your own grave.
Oh, absolutely. Big old hole, climbing right into it. Absolutely. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And that's just one way. I mean, that's just one way that we try and ensure that we're going to win this argument. Further, many of us, while we're building our case, little Sherlock Holmes-like managers out here, we include in all of those things, all of those examples of them having done this poorly or done it wrong or whatever it may be, we include motive as an element of the crime. And this is where things get real squirrely.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good time.
I know, right? Despite the fact that plenty of managerial guidance about assuming positive intent is well known to us, and we know we should do it, and we know we personally possess positive intent every time we do something wrong, too many of us mistakenly assume that, we really can guess at all of the bad reasons someone had for doing something that didn't turn out well.
What's interesting about that to me is that it so often comes from a place of, that's not how I would do it. So I'm more like, if it's not how I would go about it, there's this, I think it's easier to see the pitfalls of it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like if
a little,
if I would do it this, like X, I would execute on plan X.
Yeah.
And I can see all the benefits of plan X, but someone else says, oh, I can see they have plan Y. It's really easy for me to like compare the two and say, oh, well, here's the pitfalls of plan Y. And we give ourselves the credit of positive intention,
sure,
which is why we believe that the benefits of plan X will outweigh the negatives of plan Y.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, if you genuinely believe that someone is acting out of negative intention, they should not work with or for you.
Yeah, totally.
That's not okay. And we, I mean, if you're listening, ask yourself, have you made a mistake at work in the past 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm betting everybody raises their hand.
And if they haven't, they're lying.
Actually, don't raise your hand in your car because it's like not good. Yeah. That's where you're listening. Or if you're running or something. Ask yourself or say, if I ask, how many people listening have made a mistake in the past 2 weeks at work? How many of you who answer to yourself, yes, I've made a mistake in the past 2 weeks at work, set out to make that mistake on purpose?
Everyone's hands go down.
Yeah. I mean, there's always one, right? There's always one person who's like, right. Yeah,
just it was being me. Sassy, though. They're being sassy.
I don't know. I know some people who like to, you know, cause havoc a little bit. And we don't work with those people, just so we're clear. But I really don't think anybody intends to make a mistake or intends to mess things up.
Right.
And we're human, so we always mess things up. And the podcast for this is, there is no why in feedback.
Right. Of course, there was a good reason. There were tons of good reasons. None of us are doing anything without at least one good reason every
yeah.
time we act. But we're still making mistakes every once in a while, even though there's plenty of good reasons. Talking about all of those good reasons, that's not helpful. We have got an event coming up in Portland, October 12th and 13th. Andrew from our team and our newest presenter in training, Amanda, will be there hosting the Manager Tools, Effective Manager, and Effective Communicator conferences. If you'd like to join, register today at manager-tools.com/training.
So you prepare your little case and the logic is totally understandable. Why not prepare for a fight or an argument when that's always what we seem to get?
Totally. Why not?
And again, positive intention, fundamentally flawed. In the same way that your directs behave with positive intention around things and things don't go well, the assumption that there will be a fight, the preparing for the argument leads to bad outcomes that you may have experienced on both sides of the equation. Because, well, a good thing to do is think of it the other way around. Rather than prepare for an argument that you think you're going to get, maybe we ought to recognize that we're getting an argument because that's what we prepared for.
Ooh, that's ninja. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's absolutely it. And let's be clear. What are we even arguing about? We're arguing about what our direct did and why they did it. And caring about those things is completely mistaken. I mean, the flaw in that is thinking solely about the past. That is, what they did and why they did it are irrelevant at the current moment. Both of those things happened in the past. And we all know there's nothing that can be done about the past. What their reasons were, whether those reasons were good enough, what happened because it went poorly, it doesn't matter. The mistake has already occurred. Even if we did, let's say we have this huge argument, and let's say we did win this argument, and our direct stopped pushing back and they firmly agreed, oh, you're so right. Actually, now that you point out all of those things that I've done poorly, I'm completely on your side on this one, boss. We're still talking about the past, which is something we can't change. So who cares if we won the argument or not? Why even bother?
Here's my thing about this. I get wanting to win. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Except...
Totally. My idea, I'm going to win. It will happen.
My problem here is that the purpose of an argument is to win. And I've already won because I'm the manager.
Right. Exactly.
I am already wearing a crown. I do not need to win this argument because I have already won.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just an aside. You're already wearing the crown, y'all, or carrying the sign, or I don't know what other. We should know. We will soon with the coronation coming up.
Right. Exactly.
I'll know
scepter?
About.
Scepter? Is a scepter a thing? Ooh. I would like one.
I do think a scepter is a thing.
Yeah. I would like one.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So negative performance conversations that turn into an argument are, as you stated, about the past. They're about things that have already happened. We can't do anything about it. Who would want to argue with a direct? Also, who we're trying to build trust with?
Absolutely. We're trying to build trust.
We're trying to make our role power a little smaller and our relationship power bigger, and trying to win an argument will not accomplish those two things.
Exactly.
So we're not going to increase trust this way. And when it comes to the why portion of our argument, you're never going to win an argument with someone about what they're thinking.
No.
You're not. Because they'll just pretend that they were thinking someone else, something else. Just
exactly.
Whatever. People don't like us thinking we knew what they were thinking when they did something, even when we're certain we're right. And y'all, you probably are. They will argue.
Doesn't matter.
Right. If you say, well, obviously you were thinking X, I'd be like, well, no. And why wouldn't they try to win? You're already trying to win. Like, they're going to try to win by saying you couldn't possibly know that. And that's true. They know we don't really know what their thoughts or intentions were. So there you go. You've just doubled and tripled down on this argument.
Tripled down.
Yeah, which you can't do, right? Can you do that?
Exactly.
No.
Well, we just did. All right. So yes, all this talk about the past and those kinds of things, it confuses plenty of managers.
It wasn't the tripling down thing that...
Right, it wasn't the tripling. I mean, there's a lot of confusing things happening, right? There's so many confusing things, but... Right?
We mean the other part.
Right, exactly. So yes, I mean, we're talking about the past, confusing. And wait, you say, isn't the fact that we're even talking about this thing at all really talking about their mistake? That is, isn't the conversation about the past, essentially, about their mistake? And the answer is no, it's not. And you'd be right to think the ultimate purpose of the reason this conversation is happening at all is because they did something, but talking about why is misguided. The way to win the feedback argument is to not prepare for an argument, therefore not have an argument at all. It's unnecessary.
Right, because if we were to pause it through, you know, did this thing you did go smoothly? And if the answer is no, then why would we do it again in the future? We wouldn't. A reasonable person with, hey, look at this instance of what happened, look at whether it was effective or not. And if it was not effective, should we or should we not repeat it? The answer is we should not.
We should and not. Everyone knows that.
So
thank you for stating that, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. That's exactly it. We're focused so hard on our fear of an argument that we forget the truth, which is that the purpose of feedback done correctly is not about the past. It's not about an argument about the past. It's not even really talking about the past.
Yeah.
The purpose of feedback, all feedback, not just negative, positive and negative, is to encourage effective future behavior. So if you were late to this meeting and it wasn't the best choice or it wasn't the best thing, wouldn't we like to do it differently in the future?
Everyone would.
Yeah. we would like a future where people are on time to meetings.
And I bet those people also want to be on time for meetings too. I mean, everyone wants us to be on time.
We try. And when you create an argument, when you build your little case, when you have your little bank box of files, you're actually setting up a confrontational discussion about the past. And the nature of the conversation, which you've created as confrontational.
Yes.
And it colors the words you choose, y'all, as well.
Oh, yes, for sure.
So the confrontational nature of this conversation and the time period, which is yesterday.
Yeah.
Are wrong and ineffective. It's just not, it's a bummer, dudes.
It is. And like, I mean, it's silly. Kate said this, we're doing this to ourselves, yo.
Yeah.
As managers, we're creating the confrontation simply by preparing for a confrontation. And then we also end up in our conversation because of all of our evidence talking about the past, which isn't the time that we're supposed to be talking about right now, because the past is irrelevant and they meant well. And talking about the past will not change it. And if you can, please send us a note and let us know where the keys to your DeLorean are. We'd love to know.
We would just want to borrow it for like a small amount of time. So I talk about this in conferences a lot and in trainings, because people will say, when you were late to Sarah's meeting. And I say, that's not how we do it. What we say is, when you're late to meetings. And they say, well, I want them to know what meeting. The problem with that is, I mean, we've talked about overall the problem, but for specificity in terms of how we're going to use this, y'all, think about it this way. If I say, when you're late to Sarah's meeting, the person has a list of reasons why they were late to Sarah's meeting.
Yeah.
That causes more likelihood for argument. If the wording is, when you're late to meetings, then it's not about Sarah's meeting. It's about any meeting. And so they try to argue, say, dude, it doesn't matter about that particular meeting. I'm talking about all the meetings we're going to go to next month. I'd like for us to try to be on time. And so you're quite literally, by referencing this scenario,
yeah,
giving them fodder for this argument. Your prep for the argument, which is, I should give them a specific example so they know I'm not just making up stuff they didn't do, actually changes the words you use and causes the argument.
Exactly.
And they're going to tell you, oh, well, Sarah's meeting is back to back with such and such. And okay, now you're stuck because they've presented you with a reasonable
reason.
Thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. You're absolutely right. In these conversations, guys, we're going to mention the past, obviously. But again, that's not the purpose of this conversation. Think of it this way. Suppose you had a discussion about the mistake focusing on the past behavior, and that focus on the past behavior in that conversation went well. Great. But over the next 2 weeks, say the negative behavior continues. Did your conversation about the past, which went really well and super positive, achieve its purpose?
No. No,
it was just a fun little waste of time where we talked about something that had no positive effects whatsoever on the future. We don't talk about things that happened in the past because it's not helpful in the future. It's just a waste of time.
I would even argue that the example we just gave about when you're late to Sarah's meeting is also part of that. It's like, that's a really good highlight of this as well. If I say, when you're late to Sarah's meeting, and they say, well, Sarah's meeting is back to back, they're not going to think about the behavior I'm proposing, which is timeliness, and project it onto future meetings. So they then believe, because I said, when you're late to Sarah's meeting, that I'm only talking about Sarah's meeting.
Exactly.
As opposed to Emily's
all
meeting,
the meetings,
and Cassie's, like all the meetings. So the only reason to talk at noon about something that happened this morning that was bad is to change the future scenarios in which that behavior right. applies.
Yeah, so, this afternoon's meetings.
Yeah, timeliness about the meeting yesterday isn't about yesterday, can't do anything. It's about the meeting tomorrow and specificity around circumstance rather than specificity around behavior causes a focus, in some cases, on just that one circumstance and not their future behaviors. You're doing this to yourselves. You're welcome.
You're welcome. So, guys, why argue about the past when our rational purpose is the future? This is why
all
effective feedback is the same. Whether it's positive, whether it's negative, the purpose of all of the feedback, the tiny conversations, is to help people be better in the future. If I give you this information, the next time you're in this situation, you'll take into mind what I said last time. If the feedback's positive and we deliver it, we're essentially asking for them to do more of the same. If it's negative, we're asking for them to do something differently next time. And this is why there's only one manager tools feedback model, not two. Now, we do refer to them because we need some sort of language to differentiate between the two circumstances. We call them positive and negative feedback, but the model's the same. Can I give some feedback? When you do this, here's what happens. And then if we're positive, say thanks. If we're negative, could you do that differently next time? Same model. We don't prepare differently because it's the same model. We don't need court cases and arguments for negative feedback and have a different way of preparing to deliver positive feedback. We prepare the same for both because we want the same outcome of both conversations. Effectiveness in the future.
It's the only time period we have any influence over.
Oh, absolutely.
If we can focus on the future and do so in an encouraging way, the drama, the antagonism melts away. You get better results. Trust will stay high and everybody wins.
Right. Mecca.
Mecca. So, one more thing because
This will help.
Behaviorally, yeah. Well, so there's a couple of things, y'all. There's specific words that you should be using, which we talked about. There's the don't prepare for the argument. So, in terms of guidance here, the other behavioral guidance for today is brief your people.
Yeah. Don't catch them off guard.
Yeah. Seriously. We've said this before, never introduce a change to how you manage without first taking the time to introduce that change to the team before you make it. Never bring in a change without briefing your people. Brief your team. You're going to talk to them differently about their performance because, oh gosh, so many reasons. They're so much more likely to meet your expectations if they know your expectations. They're so much more likely to argue if they know what's coming. They're so much more likely to feel comfortable if they know what's going on. They're so much more likely to feel like it's not just happening to them if it's announced to the group all at once. Also, you are teaching them to be professionals. I don't care what age they are or how long they have been in their careers. I am still surprised occasionally by the number of years someone has been in their profession and still does not know how to do professional things. Run a meeting is a good example. I know people who are in their 60s who don't know how to run meetings.
Yeah.
I do. So I understand that we all have room for improvement. We all do.
Absolutely.
If that's the case, feedback can help us do that. We can help share enough information for other people to get that improvement. Also, briefing them on this means that should they ever become managers, they'll know what to do. So you're teaching your directs to be more effective as managers and have less to learn in the next role.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all good things, y'all. I know they're scary. I'm not trying to say it's without consternation and thought and churn on our part. And you can do it.
You guys are going to love that I'm saying this. There's a cast for so many of the things we're talking about right now. Kate just talked about brief before you change. But now, also consider the middleman test. I mean, Think about it. Put yourself in the shoes of a direct. If your boss was going to use a new feedback model on you, wouldn't you want to know it was coming? Wouldn't that set you at ease? Wouldn't it help you feel a little bit better about this conversation, which, let's face it, isn't exactly natural. Most people don't really talk like that in the midst of conversation. It's going to feel different. It would make you feel so much better knowing it's coming. And the briefing the letting them know it's coming, the awareness of the fact that this is going to happen and I want you to be knowledgeable enough about it to receive it well, will just, again, to Kate's point, decrease those pieces of pushback, decrease that argumentative conversation. People mm-hmm. won't feel the need to push back and defend because they're like, oh yeah, we totally talked about this. I knew this was coming. And that's awesome.
Yeah. In the same way that people want to know their calendar between now and the end of the day.
Exactly.
They want to know a little bit about the future. It helps them feel right. that they have more certainty. And y'all, the manager tools feedback model is different. And that's for a good reason. We want our directs to know what's happening. Because again, middleman test. We know that there's going to be kind of a learning curve to get over in the beginning. And it'll go away. And hey, after this, for the rest of your tenure, you'll have almost zero argumentative conversations, which is a great trade. I mean, we're just solving your problems up and down here.
Exactly.
So when you brief your team, you tell them what you're specifically going to say, you tell them the model, all four steps, tell them explicitly you're not there to talk about their mistake. Yes, of course, it will be mentioned as the cause of the conversation. And the purpose of the conversation is encouragement for the future and the knowledge necessary to adjust. And then our hope is that you'll have less drama, less tension, less conflict. Everybody wins except the lawyers.
Exactly. They're not getting paid anything this time. So, folks, all that to say, don't argue about the past. It reminds us of the old saw that worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do. I mean, it's entertainment, but it's not going to get you anywhere. And maybe, just maybe, you'll win that argument that you prepared for. But even if you win the argument, you're not going to change the behavior in the future. So what are you having the argument for? What we want is effective behavior in the future. Focus on that instead.
That's it for today, y'all. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.